Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
We have heard some pretty horrible things so far, right? The ocean being killed, the fresh water being turned into blood, the darkness, the loathsome sores, all of this is bad. And it's meant to be. And so now there's a pause, not so that heaven can talk about God's judgment or men can blaspheme God, but so that Jesus can talk to us who are reading this.
You may not like reading the book of Revelation because much of it has to do with God's wrath. As believers, the Bible tells us we will not be here for these final judgments of God upon this earth, and the judgments are bad. Today, we are studying the bowl judgments, the worst of them all. Even in this chapter, we can be grateful that our God is a merciful God who is waiting as long as he can for as many people as possible to come to him before he brings judgment. With Revelation chapter 16 and part 2 of our study, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
He's coming like a thief. Now, what does he mean he's coming like a thief? He's coming at a time you don't expect him. And the Bible says that clearly. We're going to read a couple verses that will say that. He's coming at a time when you do not expect him. If Jesus were coming back in the middle of the tribulation period, you would expect him. If he's going to come back two-thirds of the way through, you're going to expect him. If it's at the end of the tribulation period, you're going to expect him. But he's coming at a time when you don't expect him. So you don't know what time the thief is going to come. Somebody here is going to have somebody break into their house. The numbers just, they add up, right? You don't know when it's going to happen. So what do? Well, some of you guys put an alarm in your house. Some of you guys put a gun by your bed. Some of you guys get a very large, mean dog and dare somebody to break in. It's like, yeah, you go ahead. I don't need to worry about when you're going to break in because I'm ready for you to break in with my animal here that will take care of you when you do break in. And that's the idea, that you need to be ready all of the time because he's coming like a thief. Doesn't mean he's coming to steal something from you. He's coming at a time you don't expect it because a thief comes like at midnight. A thief comes at the least expected time, and that's when Jesus is coming. And many people are not going to be ready. The next thing he says is, blessed is he who watches. We've been told to watch and wait. We've been told to keep our eyes on the sky and watch for him. We are told to look at the world and the condition of the world that the world is in. And I'm not going to go over all the verses that tell us what the last days will be like. I've done it before, and we are living in the last days. Part of it is the love of many will grow cold, the Bible says. That's happened in our world. That lawlessness will increase. Lawlessness will abound, is what it says. Are we living in a day when lawlessness abounds? When men will be lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that's happening in our world even more increasingly as well. The world is what the last days are. And Jesus is saying, I'm coming like a thief, and blessed is he who watches. This is going to happen to some generation. Some generation is going to have Jesus return and take the church out of the way. And there are going to be people in the church who are not ready. Because the night before Jesus came, they were somewhere having an affair that they shouldn't have been. They were involved in something that they shouldn't have been involved in. They weren't right with God. They didn't have things right with God. And so, what does it say? Keep your garments. Your garments won't be kept. And people will know your nakedness. That's the idea. Lest that he walk naked and they see his shame. I think of Ravi Zacharias. If you don't know who Ravi Zacharias is, he was an apologist. One of the very best, by the way. Wrote a lot of books. We invited him here to speak 20 years ago or so. And he just wasn't able to make it. We just couldn't make the dates work out for him to be able to come and speak. But I was blessed by his writing so much that we asked him to come and speak. And then after he died, we found out that not only was he involved in sexual things, but he actually had girls travel with him so he could be sexually involved with them. So this is not just someone who's struggling with sexual things. This is someone who had pre-planned it and actually took advantage of girls to bring them with him to take advantage of them. So what do we think of Ravi Zacharias now? There was a time when we thought he had his garment clean, but what do we see today? He's walking in his nakedness. we see him as he was. Well, this will happen to everybody. The Bible says, what is done in secret will be shouted from the rooftop. So Jesus says, keep your garment. Get things right. Keep short accounts with God. Get things out of your life. Listen, strongholds are strongholds for a reason. There are strongholds people deal with because they're strongholds. People don't, if you're dealing with a weak hold, I'm sorry for you. But strongholds are strongholds. And sometimes people are dealing with a stronghold and they're repenting, they're asking God for help, and they're trying to get their handle on it. And sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're just doing it. And so you have got to do what you can do to keep your garments, lest you walk naked and see his shame. Now let's talk about Jesus coming like a thief. Let's talk about him coming at any moment. The Bible teaches clearly that Jesus is going to come in a day you don't expect him. He's going to come like a thief. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 and 3. It says, for you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as like a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Notice it's at a time when they say peace and safety. He's coming like a thief in the night. This cannot be during the tribulation period, because there's no time during the tribulation period. It starts with the Antichrist, with war, with famine. These are the very first things of the tribulation period, and death. And a fourth of mankind dies in the very beginning of the tribulation period. And so you can't say peace and safety. How is a fourth of mankind, eight point whatever billion people on the earth, 2 billion die, and people are saying peace and safety? He can't come back in the middle of the tribulation period, or two-thirds of the way through, or at the end of it, because it's not a time of peace and safety. Listen to what he says in 1 Thessalonians 9 and 10. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So they were saved to wait for the Son from heaven. We are supposed to be waiting for the Son from heaven. If you believe he's coming back in the middle of the tribulation period, you are not waiting for the Son to come from heaven. You are waiting for the Antichrist. You're waiting to go through suffering if you're pre-wrath. You're waiting to go through all of it if you're post-tribulation. You're going through the whole thing. And so you say Jesus is going to come back at the very end. You're looking for the tribulation period. You're not looking for Jesus. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 12, 35 through 40. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. In their day, they wore robes, right? And so when you wanted to go out and work in the field, you girded your waist. You reached down and you picked your robe up and you tucked it into your waist, and it turned your robe into shorts so you could work without your robe flying around, right? So you ladies, when you got to do some work, you can gird your waist and get your dress. Turn it into shorts. So he says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. What's he saying? Be ready. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he returns from a wedding, that when he comes and knocks, you may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants who the master, when he comes, will find them watching. It would be like how blessed we would be if we one day were driving down the road, looking at some sunset, and thought, man, Jesus could come. And there he is. We're literally looking for Jesus, and that's when he returns. And that's what he's saying. Blessed is the person who does that. I say to you that he will gird himself. Jesus is going to gird himself and sit down, and he will come and serve them. So he's going to serve us. And if he shall come at the second watch or the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Doesn't matter when he returns, you're always ready. But know this, that the master of the house had known what time the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So we've got to be ready. We've got to stay ready, because he's coming at an hour that we don't expect it. Let me read you one more. This is Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil in them. But the wise took oil in their vessels and their lamps. And this is having the Holy Spirit and being in a right relationship with God, knowing him, being truly saved. And while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. And all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him into the wedding. And the door was shut. Afterwards, the virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore. Jesus said, I come as a thief, so watch. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. It's really clear that the Bible teaches the any moment return of Jesus. Now, I've got others in there that I could read you, but I'm not going to because I want to continue on and finish the chapter. So we see the armies gathered at Armageddon. This is in verse 16. This is the frogs have gone out, the demon frogs have gone out, gathered the army for the Antichrist to meet and battle the armies from the east that are coming over the Euphrates River. And they gathered together in a place called in Hebrew, Armageddon. Now I want to give you a little bit of information so that you can correct people if you want to. You can be pedantic. New word, if you don't know what pedantic is, it means exact. It's when somebody says, there's a few clouds out there. And the other person says, only a few. Didn't I just say that? Isn't that just what I said? So Armageddon, notice it doesn't say the Valley of Armageddon. Next time somebody says the Valley of Armageddon, you can correct them and say it's Mount Megiddo. This is Armageddo. It's the Mountain of Megiddo, which is actually a tell which had some 33 cities underneath it. A tell is an archaeological term where you dig in and discover a city that has been destroyed and buried. And Mount Megiddo, if you go to Israel, you're going to go there. And up on top of it, you're standing on the edge of the Jezreel Valley. And the Jezreel Valley is large enough to hold hundreds of millions of men. It's this huge inlet valley that goes up through the middle of Israel. And Armageddon is right by it. It is a mountain. The second thing is, the battle doesn't take place in Armageddon. This is a gathering point. And they gathered them together. And when you read Zechariah 14 and the other Old Testament passages, you find out that this battle takes place close to Jerusalem and around Jerusalem, and even a portion of Jerusalem falls. And these, again, are not Jewish people. It's Jerusalem that falls in this battle to some degree, all right? So it's just a little bit of information about Armageddon. We got a lot to cover in the future about that battle. We're not going to do it tonight. Then we have the seventh bowl, and it is an earthquake that is worse than any earthquake, off the charts literally, and a great hail, as in hail. We went to Indianapolis this last week, and there were storms that came through on Saturday night. And there was tornado watches all around us, and there were reports of hail the size of baseballs. Now that's big, right? Now, we didn't see any of that, which is praise the Lord, although it might have been fun to watch. It was a rental car, so it might have been fun to watch baseball-size hail. I don't know whether or not. Maybe I shouldn't be so brutally honest sometimes. But this is much bigger than that. Let's read it. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, it is done. This is the last of the 21 judges and things we've been looking at. And there were noises and thunders and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Literally off the charts, larger than anything. It shakes the entire world. Now the great city was divided into three parts. Probably Jerusalem, maybe Babylon, the reference to the great city here, but probably Jerusalem. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God. So God remembers Babylon now. That's what the next two chapters deal with. This is the kingdom of the Antichrist. To give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. So God's wrath towards Babylon has to be poured out yet. Then every island fled away, every island, and mountains were not found. So they flattened out. And great hail fell upon men, each hailstone the weight of about a talent. Now, depending on what Bible handbook you use or what manners and custom you use, when you look this up, it says between 60 and 100 pounds. Some say 60, some say 75, some say 100. Whatever that is, that's a big hailstone. And it's going to kill people. And it's going to crush people, and people are going to be injured from these hailstones. It is, again, a particularly awful bowl that is poured out on the earth. What's the response of men? For the third time, they blaspheme God. Men blasphemed because of the plague of hail, since the plague was exceedingly great. And that ends the judgments in the book of Revelation. And I have three things in closing. We are soon to get into Mystery Babylon and Babylon in chapters 18 and 19. We get into heaven after that. We get into the millennium period. We get into the judgment, and we get into hell, which I've been promising to do a teaching on for a long time. So that's where we are. Things are ramping up in our study of the book of Revelation. Three things in closing. Number one, sin makes promises it can't keep. You look at it for the short time, and you think, well, I can go ahead and do this, but it's not going to keep that promise. Just like the promise that the mark made to them wasn't kept. It ended up being their destruction, ended up being a loathsome sore on them. And so that's what happens with sin. It's worth fighting it. It's worth saying, I'm not going to give in to the moment, but I'm going to wait and live for God. So number two, all of God's judgments will be just and true. God's going to judge you fairly, me fairly. Now, Jesus has taken my sin, and I will not receive judgment for my sin. Now, the Bible does say that we are all going to be judged and that we have to give an account to God, which is interesting. But I wonder what kind of things we're going to have to give an account for. I don't think I'm going to have to give an account to God for the things I've repented from, for the things that I've asked his forgiveness for the things that I've made corrections in my life by the work and the power of the Spirit. I think it will be the things that I haven't. The Bible says we'll be judged by the words we've said. The Bible says of pastors that they have to give an account, not only pastors, for spiritual leaders. I say this to the staff often. The Bible says that we have to give an account for those that God has entrusted to our care spiritually. We're going to have to stand before God one day and give an account for that. I think that God brings judgment into our life that way as Christians because it helps us not to live sinful lives. Romans 6 says, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? May it never be. And I think God says, you're going to have to answer for everything one day. And so if you're out there just as a Christian, living like Samson with Delilah, and then one day you're going to have to answer for that. Now remember, Samson makes it into heaven. He's in the hall of faith. We were to talk about so faith. So the Bible says that all of the things we do will be judged by fire, and some are going to make it into heaven as if through fire. So some people are going to get into heaven and still be smoking. They're going to be like, okay, I'm all right. I made it. I'm okay. Just barely made it. But all of God's judgments are just and true. Number three, be ready, because you don't know when Jesus is coming back for his church. You don't know whether or not he'll be back tomorrow or the next day. He's going to come at a time we don't expect it. But he will come. One day the sky will open and Jesus will come through in all of his glory, and the church will be caught up to meet him in the air, and we will forever be with the Lord. And that promise will be kept. And it doesn't matter how ridiculous it sounds to the world, and it doesn't matter how it's mocked, and it doesn't matter how many Christians are turning from it now and not believing it. The Bible teaches it, and it is going to come to pass. The scriptures declare it. And he will come back for his church one day, as he promised, and we want to have our eyes on the sky and be looking for his return, being ready for him. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray. Father, thank you that we've made it through chapter 16 in the book of Revelation. Thank you that we made it through all of the judgments that we find here. And Lord, we pray that we would watch because you come as a thief, that we would keep our garments, that our nakedness would never be seen. We pray, Lord, that the things that we do would not embarrass us one day, but we would be able to stand before you by the forgiveness of Christ, by keeping short accounts, by having things right. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. If you're here today and you've never received Christ, the Bible says, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. He adopts you as his child. Jesus said that we were to go out into all the world and make disciples of all nations. So when I'm giving you a chance to receive Christ, I'm giving you a chance to be a disciple. Jesus is giving you that chance. Just as he called Peter, James, and John and said, follow me, he's saying to you right now in this place, follow me. Become my disciple. You have the opportunity now to become a disciple for Jesus, just as those 12 disciples were, to live for him, to be doing the work he's called you to do. It's not about him coming into your life and making your life better. It's about you doing what God's called you to do, sacrificing and denying and living for him and saying, I'm ready to be a disciple. I'm done living for myself. I'm ready to live for you. Now, you can continue to live for yourself, but Jesus said, he who saves his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will save it. So if you're here today and you want to be a disciple, you're ready to give your life to Christ, heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. Just raise your hand. This is your day. The day when you say, I'm done. I'm a disciple now. I'm living for him. You ready? Raise your hand. God bless you guys. Your hands went up immediately. God bless you. Your hand just went up. God bless you, ma'am. Back by the post there. That's great. Anyone else? Just raise your hand now. Lift your hand up high. You're ready to say, I'm a disciple. I'm going to live for him. The rest of my life is his. I'm giving it to him. I'm going to live for him. God bless you, ma'am. That's awesome. You ready? Give your life to Christ. Do it now. Just raise your hand. Say, I'm ready to live for him. I'm ready to be his disciple. All right, you can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin, that I can live for you as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to being a disciple for him.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sundays at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.